You're listening to the CX Innovators Podcast.
As business leaders look for ways to improve productivity and profitability, they're increasingly turning to innovative automation and self-service technologies. But keeping up with the rapid pace of new innovations can be overwhelming. Now there's a website to help you do just that. From the publishers of Kiosk Marketplace, Vending Times, and Digital Signage Today, Automation and Self-Service covers trends in artificial intelligence, robotics, kiosks, payments, and much more. Visit the site today and subscribe at www.automationandselfservice.com.
Hello, and welcome to the ICX Innovative Podcast produced by NetWorld Media Group. I'm Judy Model, editor of RetailCustomerExperience.com. Our podcast is all about talking to innovators in customer experience, and I'm really excited today to introduce our guest, Neely Winston Powell. Neely is the founder of the Charleston Shoe Company, which she launched 25 years ago, and which is now an iconic national brand known for versatile and fashionable footwear. It's sold online in retail stores, as well as more than 800 boutiques. But as you'll learn in today's podcast, Neely's story isn't just about founding and building a thriving retail business. It's about entrepreneurship, dedication, and determination. So welcome, Neely, and thank you so much for joining us at CX Innovative Podcast.
Hi, Judy. Thank you for having me.
So let's start at the very beginning. What prompted the move to launch a shoe company, and how did you even know where to start?
Well, I really, as an entrepreneur, I don't know that I knew I was starting a business, considering it was 27 years ago. It happened so organically, but I grew up going to furniture markets with my mother from as a teenager. And in college, I would go to make extra money, and I realized that women were walking around furniture markets wearing uncomfortable shoes. And so I had met my cobbler about 5 years prior to that, and my mother and I bought these amazing comfortable shoes. So I started bringing suitcases of these shoes to these furniture markets and selling these shoes individually to women that were, you know, walking tens of thousands of steps a day and still wanted to look fashionable. Right. So it was really more of a necessity for comfort and for style to provide this amazing product to these women. And it really became an obligation because they would flock to the booth and I would bring out all these shoes and create a mess in my mother's furniture booths. And we'd have a great time. It was like Filene's basement in the middle of these furniture markets. So at the time, you know, it was just something fun that I was providing to these women. And I didn't know that I was really launching a shoe company until about a decade later.
So at that point, was there a name for your shoe?
No, not at all. Okay. It was essentially my cobbler that I had met in Central Mexico in the 90s. It was his shoe, and I was selling his shoe. That was designed, he was a fifth generation cobbler, and it was designed to walk on the cobblestone streets in Central Mexico. So it was very comfortable, great European feel and style, very timeless. And, you know, the comfort was just magically amazing. And these women at the time, you know, in the late 90s, comfort was kind of a bad name. So Anytime a woman could try on a shoe that actually looked good and felt good, that was really magical.
That's true. I mean, everything looked like a nursing shoe when I was growing up.
That's right. That's right.
So take us from that point to when you opened your first retail store, and that was Savannah, right?
It was, yes. So I spent the next 12 years wholesaling a line pretty unsuccessfully, trying to create a new brand of shoes, just me with all the big shoe dogs and all the markets. And it was just a different world then. You know, people weren't exciting. They were still taking all these appointments and doing all this you know, order writing. And I just had this feel that I wanted to do something differently. And so I went back to school and took shoe design at SCAD. And in 2009, and I launched this line in the middle of my time there at SCAD taking accessory and shoe design. Wow. It was with my old cobbler. And while I was in Savannah, I realized that there were all these tourists there. And really, the only thing to do there was to go to Paula Deen's and get a biscuit. Right. She was selling millions of coffee mugs and millions of dish rags. And I was like, I can do this differently. What if I make this shoe a really comfortable, cute set souvenir? And so I opened my first store on Broughton Street in downtown Savannah, and I called it Savannah Shoe Company. And I had created about 12 styles, very timeless, very comfortable, machine washable, great for travel. And to boot, they're coming to a town, and instead of buying a t-shirt, they're buying a shoe. So what woman doesn't want that, right?
Right.
And so I opened my first store, assuming that all these women flocking to Paula Deen's were going to flock to me instead. Right. And of course they didn't. If you build it, they will come. It's really a movie. And so I stood out front of my store in Savannah, Georgia, and I said, okay, I got to do something to intercept these women. And so I put on two different shoes and stood on the street, and I decided these women were either going to feel sorry for me and come in the store, or they were going to, you know, they were going to be intrigued by what I was doing. But it was all, again, this sense of having fun and not feeling like you're walking into a normal retail experience. I wanted to feel like I did when I was a kid going into Buster Brown with my grandmother and walking out in a new pair of red shoes.
Right.
And that was the whole beginning of retail for me as a child. And I wanted to emulate that again, because I feel like we lost that, you know, in those decades.
So, I mean, that's actually the definition of what your customer experience was from the very start then.
Absolutely.
The whole idea of interacting and engaging with a potential customer.
Right. I didn't want anyone to feel like Pretty Women, that they walked in a store and felt, you know, uncomfortable or inadequate. I love the idea of people making shopping an experience, going with your friends, having lunch. You know, the majority of my stores are in walking tourist towns, because I feel like everyone on vacation is having fun, right? And right. Shopping isn't a necessity, if you will. And so I want to emulate that in my stores. So in all 25 of our stores, all of our sales associates wear two different shoes.
Wow.
You know, they don't engage with the customer when they walk in. How can I help you? It's more, hi, have you heard about us? Let me tell you about our story. And then, where are you from? And let me, you know, interact with you on a normal, soulful, humble interaction that comes really from building relationships and building this experience like you're walking into your best friend's closet.
Right. So it's more of a conversation and not just about, hey, look at these shoes on my feet.
Exactly. Exactly.
So from that inception of that, has that evolved or changed to today at all?
It really hasn't. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, I think as an entrepreneur and as someone building a business, you need to maintain your what you set out to do. And obviously, you wouldn't be an entrepreneur if you didn't have to pivot and change the way you're thinking on a daily basis and reinvent the wheel and redo things a million times before you get it just right.
Right.
But we still do that in the stores. And that is our main goal, is to have fun and to create these relationships. You know, I used to say, people used to ask me what my favorite part of the business was. And I used to laugh and say HR sarcastically, because everyone loves that. But right. In actuality, after looking back over the last 27 years of my life and realizing that that HR is the main reason we're all here. Every business is about people, and you have to create that culture within a company to realize that that's the main part of it. And it's not just with your employees, but it's also with your customers. And those relationships are the foundation of marketing and trust and just pure soulful like living, if you will.
So how important is like the customer feedback? Or I mean, when somebody, you know, being in a tourist area, someone takes your shoes now and goes home. Do you ever get those emails or notes saying, oh my gosh, I was at a barbecue and everybody was asking me where I got my shoes?
Every day, you know.
Wow.
When I first started this business, I didn't have enough money to market.
Right.
And, you know, in Savannah, I'd get these women that would like, they'd be like the Pied Piper, and they'd start walking down the street with all their friends, bringing them to the shop.
Wow.
Because they really are magically, not only magically comfortable, but the look on your foot is almost, it's so stylistic and classic, and it's almost like Spanx for your foot. It makes every foot look small and cute and all these things. And
right.
So these customers would go out and they would just rave about the shoe. And I'd get customers that would come in my store and be like, oh my gosh, some stranger just let me try her shoes on at a bar. And I'm here because it was amazing. But those stores, those stories just come in on the daily. And our, you know, our heart and soul is our customers spreading those amazing words and testimonials. And to the point where we have a huge home show business where, you know, women are not selling Tupperware, they're selling Charleston shoes where we don't have stores in the towns that they go home to.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So we not only have 25 brick and mortar, but we do about 100 traveling trunk shows a year, and then we do about 200 home shows a year. And so these are all just customers that just feel so strongly about our product. You know, I have customers that have 70-something pairs of my shoes because
wow.
I make one shoe in 40 colors, so they can, you know, it's like Baskin-Robbins for your feet, right?
Well, you know, it's funny, that whole Tupperware and even the Avon model, you know, that was all about customer one-on-one, customer engagement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it helps to have this product that is just really, the comfort is just viral. And, you know, again, like I said, 27 years ago, comfort was kind of a bad word. And now everyone does it, right? Since COVID.
Right.
But to actually, still to the same to this day, I'll go and I'll work in a store, and it's so wonderful to watch a woman try on my shoes for the first time and go, oh my gosh, you are right. They are comfortable. So that's just, it's such a great feeling for me still.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at the whole shoe retail industry, you know, the whole COVID thing brought on the whole Croc craze, and
right.
You know, my kids, you know, jumped on that, and I'm thinking, you know, to me, they are not the most attractive shoe. And for a person with a very long foot, they are definitely not attractive, right? So they look like Dutch, you know, wooden shoes on me.
That's right.
And, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of women deal with some like foot size issues, whether they have very petite feet or longer feet, you know, and back in the day, there weren't a lot of sizes, like availability in those sizes, you know?
Right.
So now let's talk about the advice and tips you would give if say, I was going to start a retail business, you know, pretty much grassroots as you did. It seemed to me you obviously had a gem with the cobbler and a connection. But, you know, are there anything you've done over 25 years that would help, you know, someone starting out?
I mean, yes, I was very lucky in that I met my cobbler, and, you know, that just grew the way it did. And I created that, but I don't think I would have been able to, if I didn't stay true to that passion, and you've got to keep trying, and you can't give up. And you have to keep reinventing the wheel and pivoting. And if you have an idea, and you're lucky enough to be like we are, that we get to do something we love every day, then that should be enough to keep your momentum and your drive going to realize that I'm going to come to work every day and I'm going to try something new. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to keep trying it because I'm blessed enough to have this opportunity to do this amazing thing that I love. And I Right. think that hustle and that passion and the humbleness to accept when things go wrong and be able to pick yourself up and keep going. And also be humble enough to take the garbage out every day or still work in the store and still do everything in the business that you would expect anyone else to do. You know, my dad always said, there's never any problems. Everything is an opportunity. And every one of my employees has heard me say that a million times. If you treat it like a problem, it becomes a problem. Right. And if you treat it like an opportunity, then you're going to grow and you're going to make the company stronger and it's going to be more sustainable. I mean, I've been in this business now for 27 years. I'm not an overnight success, but I'm something that has continued to take problems, make them into opportunities, and learn from my mistakes and make the company stronger as a result.
So, you know, when you talked about the passion part, I mean, to me, that's got to be there because without it, it's very hard to succeed.
Right.
You know, I always tell, you know, when my kids were growing up, you know, you want to do something with your life when you wake up every morning and you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't ever want to go to a job where, you know, you're going to be miserable and unhappy. And when you have passion behind it, and the whole idea of failing, I mean, every time you fail, you learn.
Absolutely.
So, you know, to me, there's never been a negativity on that. All right. So to wrap up this episode, when looking back over 27 years, is there any one thing you would have done more of or not done at all, or, you know, maybe share some of those, you know, one or two of those challenges?
You know, I have a bunch. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't. But I think it's really to your point. You can't be, you know, discouraged by the failure because right. we're not doing this to get over the finish line. This is about the journey. If you're a true entrepreneur and you love the journey and you love everything that comes, you know, it's the highs and the lows, right? You know, I trust too much. I believe in humanity way too much. And and as a businesswoman, I probably should be less of a dreamer and more realistic. But every bit of this journey has been magical. And I wouldn't trade any of it for the world, even COVID, which nearly crippled me. But, you know, again, out of COVID came this amazing thing that we started called Shoe Joy, which during 2020, we closed all our stores. And I decided to start bringing my employees back by donating shoes to COVID floors across the country, all the nurses there, to give them, you know, some shoe joy. Because what woman doesn't love a free pair of shoes?
Right.
And so we started it during COVID, not only to provide jobs for my employees and inspiration for these nurses and for our customers that were remaining in touch. But I just felt this need to create something stronger and bigger than just shoes. And we've continued to do that over the years. And I think, you know, that's one of those things that these little bursts of joy come from the rubble, if you will.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you took your COVID experience and, you know, not only kept the brand out and about, but kept your employees busy and, you know, very innovative. Mm-hmm. And just, I got like a little bit of chills because, you know, I think that whole healthcare sector, you know, was under such tremendous stress that that was a wonderful thing to do.
Well, and we coined it Shoe Joy because we watched the reaction from these nurses that it put them in a different state of mind. You know, it brought them back to, oh, I am a real person. And, right. Oh, you know, a pair of shoes, you know, what Cinderella said, a pair of shoes can change your life, right?
Right. And, you know, for nurses, they're on their feet constantly. So, you know, comfort is a big factor for them.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm sorry that we have to wrap this up, but we're a podcast and it's been a great episode. I want to thank you so much again, Neely, for being here and sharing with us. I read up on you and did my homework, but I learned a great deal.
Well, thank you, Judy. That was sweet. I had a fun time with you. I appreciate the conversation.
All right. So for listeners wanting to catch up on past podcasts, just log on to retailcustomerexperience.com. Look for the podcast page link in the top nav bar. And while you're on the site, check out our agenda for our upcoming ICX Summit event happening in September in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's an event we are going to beg Neely to participate in.
I'll be there with bells on and some shoes in tow for people.
Yay. That made my day, Neely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy.
As business leaders look for ways to improve productivity and profitability, they're increasingly turning to innovative automation and self-service technologies. But keeping up with the rapid pace of new innovations can be overwhelming. Now there's a website to help you do just that. From the publishers of Kiosk Marketplace, Vending Times, and Digital Signage Today, Automation and Self-Service covers trends in artificial intelligence, robotics, kiosks, payments, and much more. Visit the site today and subscribe at www.automationandselfservice.com.